You're listening to HG 101, a proud part of the Greenlit Podcast Network. Hey there, loyal listeners. As you know, the Top Games Podcast is made possible by Hardcore Gaming 101's Patreon supporters, who help keep this show alive by donating as little as $2 each month. If you were to join them in doing that, you would not only help keep the lights on at HG 101 Towers, you'd also get access to our super secret Patreon RSS feed, which is full of ad-free versions of this podcast with exclusive bonus game rankings. Here's a taste of what you've been missing.
Today we are doing Batman, the video game. It's the only one that was ever made.
It's nice that Batman finally got a video game, and I just wish there were more of them.
This comes from a wonderful time of movie games, I think, because it doesn't have anything to do with the movie.
Like, it gets Batman right. Like, if it were really based on the movie, like, Batman would be, like, really clumsy, really slow. He'll fall through the roof, stand there, and then a bunch of dudes will, like, take turns punching at him, and Batman will just, like, catch their punches, and, like, while standing basically motionless except for his arms, like, in this game, he moves like you think Batman's gonna move.
Go to patreon.com/HG101 and pledge a couple bucks. That's patreon.com/HG101. Act now and be a hero.
For some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge and lay maintain with a course aimed at colleges. To HG 101, we give the honor. Thanks to Kirk, a lot of Xerxes to host it proper, as well as Satanga, Cal and Bobinator, Booker Hart and others. Discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them, you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure, and look, they wrote a book about it. Go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's top 47,858 games of all time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games you nominate. I'm the show's main host and producer, Robbo and or Xerxes. Me and the HG101 gang have already ranked well over 500 games and counting. The list is at bit.ly/47kgames.
Dog's power. Dog's power. Yeah. Dog's power. Yeah. Dog's power.
The manager has a key, that is, if he's still alive.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Top 47,858. Today, we are talking about Final Fantasy XI. It was nominated on Twitter by Mike Nieto. It was developed by Square Enix. That's not right. It was published by Square Enix. It was originally released for the PC in November 7th, 2002 in Japan. And with me today, I actually have something kind of special. So, your lovely regular host of Top 47,000 Games. Turns out I'm the only one who's actually ever played Final Fantasy XI. So, we had to dig deep and to find people who've played this game. So, speaking of digging deep, we have an old friend of the show. We've got Pitchfork. Our older listeners, readers may remember our good friend Pitchfork as the writer of such articles as, I believe, the Darkstalkers once, correct?
Oh my god, that was like decades ago.
Yeah! Anything else you've written a little more recently for the site?
Oh my god, I wrote something about Parasite Eve, but Jesus, that was like 7 years ago. I'm out of the loop.
It's been a little bit. So, for all you new folks, we have Pat, probably the best writer we've had on the site. For this episode. But he's been around. Next, we have friend of the show, friend of the site, Giant Robot, otherwise known as GR or Robot. Go ahead and say hello to the nice people.
Hi, nice people. How are you doing today?
And have you ever written anything for the site?
No, I'm not a writer. I kind of just state things. I'm not much for the eloquence of writing. I do, on the Discord, I run a monthly game club. That's a lot of fun, but other than that, and I was on the Monster World 4 podcast long, long ago, but that's all I've done.
Yeah, so if you guys, we have the Discord linked everywhere that anywhere our site is, come check it out. It's like a book club, except we play games instead, so it's a lot more fun. And lastly, but certainly not leastly, we have Juniper, who is just a big FF11 fan that I know, and I decided if anybody was going to talk about Final Fantasy XI, she had to join us. anything you'd like to... I guess you didn't have a whole lot. Just a friend, lovely person all around, and probably the closest thing to a Final Fantasy XI expert that exists in the world.
Oh, so. That's sweet.
So, Final Fantasy XI, the MMO of Final Fantasy, the one they really infuriates me that they numbered. because every time I try to tell people, well, I've beaten the first 12 Final Fantasies, and they're like, what about Final Fantasy XI? I'm like, you know, it doesn't count.
Man.
I've beaten the first story boss in that game, so that counts for something.
Now I have to go back and beat it. So, who, GR, you were telling me you've been playing this, you played this way back in the American launch.
Yeah. So way back in the day, I played EverQuest. And ever since then I've been on MMOs, and, I definitely played Final Fantasy XI when it came, not immediately when it came out, but pretty close. My brother got it for me for a holiday or a birthday, so I don't remember. And, you know, being a lifelong Final Fantasy fan, I was like, oh, hell yeah, MMO. I can't wait to play this. Of course, at that time, I had 56K dial-up, and it was certainly, boy, I'm not even sure where to start how much that was an issue for the game, considering you had to have this play online set up, and then you had to download the game. There was so much stuff. But yes, the original American release was definitely, I think in that when that came out, that was two expansions, I think, or maybe one. It was, I think, Rise of Zillert, and I think there was another one that that was part of the American release.
No, it's just Rise of Zillert. It's vanilla in that. Do you go all the way back to launch too, Juniper?
I'm trying to remember. Like, I remember, gosh, I started playing whenever it was on, like, the PlayStation.
Oh, yeah. So that, I think, was the second expansion time.
Yeah.
Pretty close.
All right. And then, I know I came in a lot later myself because I was too young to buy my own, like, online game, so I was stuck playing EverQuest with my dad. And then I was just like, hey, I came across this in a store for, like, $5 or something like that. I'm like, I always wanted to play this. Let's do it. And then, Pat, you came in on this game as I believe it was a dare.
No. It was during a period of my life where I was smoking too much weed and was underemployed, and I got this cockamamie idea that I should play the Final Fantasy series in its entirety sequentially and write giant like novellas about each of them. And then I got to the end of 10 and I was like, 11's a cardinal number. I guess that's what we're doing. And,
Well, I have realized that I've completely forgotten to explain to people what so Final Fantasy XI, like I've said, is an MMO in the Final Fantasy series, the 11th such game, but not in the 11th MMO, just the 11th Final Fantasy. And at this point, Final Fantasy is notorious for having sort of a weird identity among itself, but this place is definitely where it started getting real weird. It's actually probably the first thing we've ever had to an action-based game in the series. It's an MMO. Like, it's not like a turn-based game. You have one party, well, one character and your party, and you run around, and you do... Well, you don't really do... Quests in this game are kind of weird.
Yeah, like, they are. There's sort of like... You choose a city when you start, and there's sort of a... for the first little bit of the game... They're sort of like you do city affiliated stuff, but after a certain point, all the cities kind of branch into one story point. And if I remember correctly, and somebody can correct me here, the first major boss that you fight, you know, if you're doing these city quests, is this thing called the Dark Dragon.
I did not even get that far.
Yeah, it's not like it's something you can just find normally. You kind of have to. Similar to EverQuest, you kind of have to talk to people and trigger certain conversations and be certain levels and do certain things. And then they'll be like, oh, hey, here, go kill this dark dragon. And after you do that, it kind of the story starts to kind of open up, so to speak, and be more, you know, beyond just, you know, the scope that you started at.
How many months do you have to play before you get to fight the dark dragon?
Well, that depends on how good you are at finding a party.
And also grinding, too. Because, like, yes. The first, like, 10 levels of anything I found was, like, grueling. Like, compared to any other MMO I've ever played, getting from, like, 1 to 10 was horrible. And then when you got to that, what is it, the dunes or whatever?
Yeah, Volcarp Dunes.
Yeah, that took forever because you didn't have a chocobo. You couldn't have a mount. You were just running everywhere.
Yes, yes. That was another thing. You know, if you knew somebody, there were these big ruins across the land. And then if you knew somebody was high enough level, it could teleport you to them. But yeah, until you got to level 20, you had no mount. And so everything you did, you hoofed it on, you know, you were on foot. And let's just say, you know, the game was not as far as movement goes, was not a fast game.
No.
I think you had a sprint command, or that might be 14 I'm thinking of, but it was like 14. A couple seconds.
No, my friend, 14. When I was slogging through this game, I was telling my friend Jeff about it, who was at that point heavily into World of Warcraft, and he just laughed at me.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like, oh yeah, absolutely.
World of Warcraft is fun from the beginning. No one ever had to tell me it was going to get better.
Yeah. Oh, and I do, if I remember correctly, you were unable to jump in 11.
Yes.
Yes, the game has lots of invisible walls, and so yeah. Like little drop-offs, you think, where you could just hop off a ledge and kind of move on, you had to walk around. Let's talk about I always want to talk about the first major barrier you hit, not for beyond grinding up to, you know, level 18 or so to head to the Volcrum Dunes or depending on or other places, depending on where you're at.
And what do you call the Volcrum Dunes? Just for our listeners, what happens at the Volcrum Dunes?
It's nothing really major. It's just sort of like a big hub of, you know, you're this level, so everybody would end up there. And also, so the first roadblock was unlocking a sub job, and you had to go to the Volcrum Dunes to do that because you needed to kill certain enemies to get certain items to turn in to unlock the ability to level up a second job and use that as a sub job.
Yeah, and it was like one of the first areas where you started actually looking for parties and things. And
yes, you could basically solo up to it, but once you were at a certain level, you basically had to find a party to go there.
Yeah,
what needs to be said about Final Fantasy XI is that it's designed such that you are your person is worthless by themselves. You're good at doing one thing. And you need to be good at doing five things to survive an encounter with any enemy above, like, level 5, level 10, something like that.
You could get certain classes or certain jobs could like get
ninja
away
dancer
with
could
it.
Do it, yeah. But you're designed to be a component in, like, a larger organism. So
yeah,
if you're
yeah.
not good at finding a party, or if you're something like a thief,
if you ran Beastmaster or Summoner, you could probably push it a little bit. And everybody, for the record, I ran a Dark Knight. Once I got to level 30, I ran a Dark Knight, and they are super glass cannon. And absolutely, there's no way I could do anything on my own outside of a party.
So I think we've got a little ahead of ourselves on that one. So this game has the famous Final Fantasy job system, which you start off the game. And unlike most MMOs, where you can play any kind of class, like EverQuest. Like nowadays, like your class system is like half the screen tall and half the screen wide, and you get to pick from like among 75 classes.
Yeah, you can start anything you want in EverQuest.
In this game, you start as one of the original Final Fantasy I jobs. The fighter, the white mage, the black mage, the red mage, and the thief. I can't remember which one's the fighter and which one's the fighter in Final Fantasy.
I think it was Pugilist in 11 is what
nope.
you could start as.
Nope. That's Final Fantasy 14.
No, it's 14.
Yeah. Yep, this game, I think they actually call it Monk or Black Belt or something like that.
I think it was Monk.
Possibly, which is a shame because Black Belt's
yes.
a sweet name.
Well, I remember being saved by Minnie and Monk, so I know those are in the game. And I will apologize ahead of time for how much I probably blend 11 and 14 together.
Which
it's easy to.
Yeah, it's really easy to, especially since I played the 14 beta, and those games
too.
Are
yeah.
real similar.
Yep, yep.
Yes, my God. That's the weird thing is if like you're coming from that 14 version 1 beta stuff. It's like, well, it's all mixed up in your head. But another thing that kind of I like talking about this game is it's got menu-based combat for an MMO.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which is always really kind of fun. Like you walk around and it's sort of like
sort of ATB, where you got the attack menu, and then like things cool down, and then you attack again, and then you have special abilities that cool down every hour or every 24 hours or something.
2 hours. Ridiculous.
2 hours. That's right. Yeah, the 2 hours. Was there like an 8 hour ability or something?
Unless that was a later thing, not that I know of.
I've got like 100 hours or something according to Steam, and I don't know if I ever got past level 20 in this game.
I didn't even know it was on Steam, so.
Are there still servers? Can you still play this
game? Yes, you can. Oh, absolutely.
Oh.
Yes. For preparation of this episode, I played a little bit on a private server, just because it doesn't cost money to play that game on the private server. It's a lot nicer. You can solo better experience. Although the game has gotten a lot kinder in old days. Yes. Pat, as I recall, not to go back to your article a lot, but I remember you having a fit about losing experience on death.
I was the only person who had fits.
I always think of that article as a long-form fit against a game. So, I guess I kind of said this game's an MMO, throwing that out. Like, it's like, well, it's an MMO, you know how that goes. And then completely forgetting we're on the wrong side of World of Warcraft for just saying you understand what an MMO is. So this game, as we kind of mentioned here, it's got your objectives, but rather than what your typical MMO now, where every important thing is highlighted or marked by a guy with a symbol above their head, this game, the whole idea was just discovering things. Like, talk to a guy. Oh, hey, it turns out he's actually important, and he has quests you can do. Or he has stuff. And then going back to the job system really quick. So you have your 6 regular jobs that every character can start out with. And then you can pick up a second, or you can upgrade. You can get, like,
an advanced job.
Advanced jobs, that's the word I'm looking for. Which is more of, like, the more of like a Final Fantasy V or Final Fantasy Tactics roster at this point, where you've got your Dark Knights, you've got your Alchemists, you've got your Summoners, you've got your Gunners, you've got Dancers, you've got Beastmasters, you've got Red Mages, anything you've ever played in a Final Fantasy game.
Ninjas and Paladins.
Ninjas the best, because I always heard they're the best tank, just because...
See, I have a lot to say about that.
Go ahead.
Okay, I didn't want to jump ahead too much, but so my experience with the game was I played at a point where ninjas were just kind of coming onto their own, and so they have this ability called I'm gonna use the Japanese term because that's what they use in the game, Utsusemi Nikage, which basically is like it's shadow clone. And so ninjas could basically use this ability, and they would take X amount of damage, and it would just negate it. And so they could sit there, you know, and tank and absorb this amount of damage and not have to worry about taking that damage, and the healer wouldn't have to worry about it. But when I played, they were just kind of coming into their own. So you had a lot of people who were ninjas coming in with, like, a warrior subclass or a paladin subclass and being like, I'm going to be a tank, and coming into a later dungeon where a lot of people were grinding, like, Crawler's Den or something, and just absolutely face planting because they didn't know how to do it right, and there wasn't really a established way of tanking as a ninja at that point.
Yeah. To kind of answer Pat's question, the last expansion for the game came out in 2015, roughly 14 years after the game had launched, and it's at this point it's established that the servers are still up, but they're not making really any more new content for it.
It's for the best.
Probably.
They do. I think they. I don't know. They did at one point do like minor expansion, like content updates. Like I think there was like a Moogle coup d'état update, and there was another one. I think.
Oh yeah.
That weren't like you have to buy this, but they were sort of still expansions, in that they added some new content.
I haven't seen an email for one of those in a while. But I still get emails about Final Fantasy XI to this day saying, hey, we haven't seen you in a while. Come play.
Oh, yeah, me too, actually.
Yeah, it's you can tell which one's my oldest email address, actually. So let's see here. Oh, yeah. I mean, and then going to like those advanced jobs to kind of understand like what MMOs used to be until World of Warcraft. And then World of Warcraft kind of, well, it did some of this stuff. And then as time goes on, it kind of changed itself as well. Like, the advanced jobs are just stuff you had to know how to find. People could tell you where they were. It wasn't like this thing where the game is like, okay, there's a great big exclamation point on a guy. Go talk to him, and then he'll tell you what to do. It's you have these items that you could possibly have had and lost or done something entirely, put them in some weird storage forever ago. Like, this game was old-school MMO, figure it all out, and figure it all out by talking to people.
Yeah, and the sub-jobs were also, to unlock them, were all over the place. For example, I mained Dark Knight, so I had to go to this mine and like, get a key to open something, and I got a greatsword. So once I had the greatsword, I had to kill, like, 300 enemies with it in order to finish the quest.
Oh, yes, I remember that one.
That sounds miserable.
Yeah, it kind of was.
And then I always like to tell the story about Juniper having maps and maps and maps of this game just around so she could find stuff again.
Yeah, I... Yeah. Oh, and I even had, like, for crafting, too, because you had to stand a specific direction on a specific day, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, in order to enhance your synthesis. You know, like, north was this way for, like, fire and shadow things. And it was, like, you had to have written things in real life in order to keep up with this game.
Did you ever unlock Summoner or Hunter?
I think I was beginning to do Summoner, but I was really just elbow deep in being a white mage. So, yeah.
It's interesting.
Summoner was an interesting one because you talked to a guy, you had to talk to a guy, and then you had to kill leeches for about 8 hours to get a ruby gem. And then, once you got that, you had to travel all over the world with the ruby gem and go to places where certain weather effects were in play. So it's like, oh, okay, you got to go to this place to get snow, this place to get sun. And then after you did like 8 of those, you would unlock Summoner and be stuck with Carbuncle until you were able to beat raid bosses.
You were going to say something there, Pat?
Oh, I was just going to say that it's interesting how 11 kind of recapitulates the development of like Japanese-style console RPGs in the sense that it's a lot like, you know, it's really rudimentary as an MMORPG. Like, post-World of Warcraft, these games seem to just tell you stories and tickle your genitals. But, like, it's like NES Final Fantasies in that this is something that you have to, like, wrestle with and puzzle over and just grind the hell out of in order to get anywhere. Like, whatever merit NES RPGs had in making you just interact with them and figure out like just how the hell you're supposed to interact with them. Final Fantasy XI did that very well, except it also, you know, took you 12 hours to do anything.
Yeah,
it was the highest maintenance game I ever played.
The thing I really enjoyed about Final Fantasy, and I'm really happy that it was like one of my first MMOs that I've played, is the sense of accomplishment that you've got. You know, like now looking back at all the different MMOs I've played over the years, I look back at Final Fantasy XI as like a game where you put the time in and you got rewarded for it.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, and I wonder if that wasn't less them trying to emulate old NES games and more, because like EverQuest had a lot of weird, obscure, obfuscated stuff like that.
Oh, 100%.
And EverQuest always felt more like it was going back to like PC games of the 90s.
Yeah, where, I mean, if you were trying to make progress, quote unquote, in EverQuest, you would walk into a city and you would just start hailing every NPC you could to see if they would give you some kind of dialogue chain
might
turn into something.
God, I forgot about hail. Like, there's just, it's weird how sometimes you hear a certain word and your mind just remembers typing it out all of a sudden. Although then again, you could also say that NES RPGs were also trying to go back and emulating old PC RPGs. So Final Fantasy XI is really where all video games just went completely full circle. And it all just culminated in Final Fantasy XI again.
The snake ate its own head.
We went full Ouroboros, which probably was a raid boss in this game. let's see here. Is there anything in particular we definitely do not want to forget to talk about this game?
Oh, one of the things I remember is that when you got to a certain level, you were capped and you had to complete quests, two extremely difficult quests in order to go above 50, and then I think the second one was above 55. The first one, you just had to collect some items. You could actually get the items ahead of time. I was actually part of a group of people who were like, "Hey, if you want to do this, we're gonna get like 20 people together. We're gonna gather these items." And so I got that. But the second one, you had to fight this guy named Matt. And Juniper or Patrick, I don't know if they remember this. They might be able to talk about this more. But he was basically a one-on-one fight where you had to fight somebody of your own class. And his name was Matt, M-A-A-T. And you had to beat him in order to get your second level break.
I thought you meant like Matthew.
No, that you bring it up.
I forgot about the level cap breaks.
Rhett from the Socks Make People Sexy community would just tell me horror stories about the level cap, just people running around town screaming, just help, I've been level 75, I've been level 50 for 3 months.
Yes. Like I said, I was lucky enough that I actually had the items to break 50 before I hit 50 because I guess it's been so long. I must have known somebody who knew somebody and was able to get that done. But Matt was the one that everybody I remember dreading because it's not just you collect these items. It's you had to fight this guy one-on-one, and he basically is whatever job you are.
And he would rock your world because you're just like, okay, I'm ready for this fight. And then you go in and you're like, oh, no, I'm not ready for this fight.
Yeah, no, that I can promise you I never got that far. My God.
Does somebody want to talk about leak shells and all that stuff?
Yes, but first, really quick, before I forgot, this game had NPCs on a schedule. Like,
yes. That's important. And monsters, too.
Yeah, the notorious monsters has come in, hyper notorious monsters.
Yes, because you go run around and you remember, if you want, like, for like, if you wanted specific items, like class items or like
wizard.
Yeah, boots or anything like that, everyone would camp this monster and it would spawn at like, I don't know, 9 a.m. And then someone would get it and then everyone would be like, TID, or was it not TID? TOD, time of death, time of death, so that can like know when it's going to respawn again.
Yeah.
Its credit, like the game world was so complicated and was running on so many different clocks that it really did feel like a fully formed like alternate world.
Oh yeah,
that's to its credit.
I mean, like Juniper said, there's monsters that spawn at specific times. One of the main leveling areas had super high level like ghosts spawn at night. And there was only one place in the zone that was safe. So when the game clock turned a certain point, everybody in the zone ran to this little like patch of ice on the middle of a little pond and stayed there until sunrise. Because if they didn't, these like level 60 ghosts would just run around and just murder you.
Yeah, that sounds. Although it should be said too that like the game clock, like you didn't have to be at the game at 9 o'clock in the morning. Although
no.
If Square could have figured out a way to do that, they would have had you do that. The game like ran in like hyper accelerated time, like 10 minutes was an hour or something like
that.
Yeah,
it had its own thing. But yes, no, it wasn't like 100% accurate.
But
it had its own like sped up thing.
I do definitely remember there being times where I'd finally crack a level. I'm like, all right, now I'm gonna go upgrade my equipment. Then I run to the armor store and they would be locked. And I'm like, really? Really doing this?
You go take a shower, go outside, smoke a cigarette, come back.
Yeah, no, that's like
smoke them if you got them.
That's how I remember a lot of like old MMOs in a lot of ways. Is my dad like, all right, I'm gonna go do this thing tediously on autopilot for 20 minutes. Time to go cook dinner and have a cigarette.
Yeah.
Okay, so link shells. We should probably hit those.
Yes.
Somebody want to talk about link shells?
It's Square Enix speak for buddy list.
So basically link shells were Final Fantasy XI's version of a guild or a clan. And you started one and you got a little bag, and you could right click it and it would make pearls and you could give these pearls to people and they could equip them, and equipping them would basically put them in that link shell guild clan's chat room area. And so the advantage was that you could have, you know, a number of these pearls. And so when you joined a quote-unquote clan or guild, you weren't, like, in it for life. You weren't like, I'm only in this one. You could join multiple of them and equip them at different points and be like, oh, this one's for hunting notorious monsters. This one's for doing high-level content. this one is just for fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to what Pat said, where it's just it was a game that everyone had to kind of puzzle out. Like one of the most notorious things about puzzling out in Final Fantasy XI were those notorious monsters, and the famous one, Absolute Virtue, which is the one that nobody learned how to do, because every time they finally took him down, Square would reset him and go, "No, yeah, not right, try it again."
Yeah. Now, was that Absolute Virtue or is that Pandora Warden?
Oh God, I think that's Absolute Virtue.
Okay. Now, does anybody want to talk about how, like, what the actual way that it was meant to do that?
So, funny enough, we've actually done it on another episode. I don't remember why or when.
Oh, God.
But, go ahead, if you...
I can. So, it's a weird thing. So, basically, nobody knew how to fight this boss. It was a super boss. It was basically a super boss. Or, you know, Ultima Weapon style, or Omega Weapon style super boss. And Square, like, released this really vague video of them fighting the boss and how it was supposed to be done, but nobody could make sense of it. So what happened was people would find a way to bug it or cheat it, and then Square would come in and be like, "No, you didn't do this right. You didn't get the win," and they would reset it or something. And the way it was meant to be done was that you had to, like, he would start doing an ability or something, and the corresponding class or job had to use their 2-hour. Now, this is the important part about the 2-hour abilities, is that they had to use it. So yours had to not be on cooldown. So when he was doing his thing, you had to use your 2-hour ability on it for the corresponding job to lock him out of using his ability. And you had to do that for all the jobs.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because his big ability would be the one that would reset the fight himself. Like, he'd just go, whoop, full heal.
Yeah.
And that's what it was.
And so the big deal with it was nobody knew that until, like, I don't know how many times they were fighting it. I don't know how long they were fighting it. But, like, Square would not tell people how to do it right. They would just release these cryptic hints and be like, "Okay, figure it out." And nobody could figure it out.
Yeah. In a lot of ways, like, 11, I think maybe the biggest thesis statement, 11 is kind of a weird turning around. Because it's like a culmination of everything Final Fantasy in a lot of ways. In a meta sense, where it's like, well, how do you beat Shinryu, or how do you beat Ultima Weapon, or how do you beat the big dragon in Final Fantasy VI, Zar Dragon?
Yeah, and not only how do you beat him, but how do you get, you know, X number of people who are along with you, because, you know, you didn't just have 6 people, you had, you know, alliances where you would set up raid parties. So it's like, how do I beat this boss, plus how do I get, you know, 20 other people to beat the boss too?
Yeah, it was a thing, and I kind of regret not being there at points, and I kind of glad I wasn't at some points.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings. My feelings are mostly positive, but definitely very mixed.
Yeah. So, speaking on those points, anything we want to say before we move on to the ranking?
Yeah, I actually wanted to talk a little bit about the fun and humorous and useful that I haven't seen really done in any other MMO was the translation system that they used in chat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was, it would use like a menu, and you could go through these different words, and it like the simplicity of it was you're an English speaking person. And a lot of the times that I would end up playing at the same time as like Japanese would be on. So I'd have to use the auto translate quite a bit, you know, like, you know, party, please, seeking party, you know, search, whatever. But when it was American time, a lot of those auto translates could be turned into very ridiculous sentences.
Yeah.
Yeah. I played with a number of Japanese people, and it was definitely super useful, not only for talking to them regularly. I mean, the auto translate feature was robust enough that you could have a pretty normal conversation with it. It might be a bit stilted, but it worked all the way to, you know, yeah, if you were sitting in Juno, you know, shouting for a party, you would definitely use that as part of your text line to, you know, try and get a group.
Yeah, it was really good. I made a few Japanese friends through it too, because you could have very slow conversations, but you could have conversations with them.
Oh, yeah. Which, I guess, really quick, I should mention. So, Play Online, we kind of mentioned earlier, was the client Square was trying to get out of this point, because turn of the century, online was becoming a very big deal. And so, the Square, right after Final Fantasy VIII, right about that point, they announced 3 big games that were going to use Play Online. They announced Final Fantasy IX, which was going to have, like, all of its hints and all of its strategy guide stuff attached to Play Online. Final Fantasy X was going to do something, and then it never did anything with Play Online, and then they're like, and then it's going to culminate and we're going to make an MMO. And they did, and Play Online was kind of their like service, like a, I mean, maybe nowadays it's not too wrong to associate with something like, say, well, because
Steam.
I was going to say Steam. I was going to almost say Discord, but I don't think it had a chat room attached to it, did it?
It did kind of have a messaging system. I don't know if it was quite as in-depth as Discord, but it was definitely on par with the way Steam worked in that you had a friends lists and you could send messages to people and stuff.
And it had
Triple Triad?
It was Tetramaster.
Oh, Tetramaster, okay.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, it had Tetramaster. And then, but it also made installing Final Fantasy XI in a lot of regards very user-unfriendly. I know I got caught up a lot of times trying to get Play Online installed and then trying to get Final Fantasy XI on top of that. And this game had the worst patching. My God.
Yeah, I my time with Final Fantasy XI was all spent on 56K dial-up. So I had the disc, so all the basic installs I had, you know, covered. But all anything after that was, you know, hours and hours and hours of overnight, you know, okay, I'm this, it's up to go and leave it and hope, you know, the internet doesn't screw up overnight to try and patch and install everything.
And it always would. Every time you could always tell exactly when it came down. You're like, oh, only 9%. Good, I guess. yeah, no. And then, yeah. Final Fantasy XI was an experience more than it was a game in a lot of regards. Anything else you wanted to say before we hit the ranking?
Does anybody... Oh, I know. One of the later expansions added in the trust system, which basically lets you have a party of NPCs and made the game a lot more solo-friendly. I didn't have experience with that, but I don't know if Patrick or Juniper used that more than I did.
I didn't really have any experience with that. I think I was done playing by at that point, maybe.
I think that's after my time, actually.
Yeah, that was, I think the expansion might have been Seekers of Anduin or Treasures of Ot-Ergon. It was one of those two expansions I think it was added in. And okay. I just know it's one of those things that people talk about. It's like, oh, if you want to play Final Fantasy XI and be able to have a more fun solo experience, this is what you do. But I did not do that at all because it was not available to me.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, didn't they have something similar like that in 14, though? Like you could have an NPC with you?
They did just add that to 14.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, you'll get people all the time who tell you, it's like, I play Final Fantasy XI now. It's a lot easier, and it's a lot better to get into, and I don't know if I'd trust them. I think that was almost a game.
Who's saying this? Who are these people?
I think it'd be great as a free-to-play MMO to have all that stuff to do and be able to enjoy that on your own pace.
Oh, my God. I almost forgot. This game was on consoles in, like, the PlayStation 2.
Yeah, and that's how I primarily played.
They sold like a big copy of it that came with a hard drive for your PlayStation 2.
I remember I was actually playing when it got released on Xbox, the original Xbox, and I remember being in the major hub city, Juneau, and everybody was like, oh man, I can't wait for all those Xbox nerds, noobs to flood the servers.
Oh God.
Yeah, no, I was cleaning out my car the other day and I came across a CD case that I looked at however many years and I was like, picked it up, like, what the hell is even in this thing? And for some reason, all of my Final Fantasy XI discs were in it for PC, PS2, 360. I tried this game so many times.
Yeah, after my initial run with it in college, I tried to get a group of friends to play it and do a static party so that we can all kind of, you know, so that we could all play together and we would all be able to, you know, have a party together. But I was the only one who stuck with it and everybody else bounced. Because I could actually restore my character at that point. So I had this level 50 Dark Knight / Dragoon / you know, Summoner / Hunter. I had half the job unlocked. So I could just be like, okay, I'll tank for you guys or whatever. But everybody else kind of bounced off of it.
That's what happened with me. When I started playing it, a bunch of people from the Socks Make People Sexy community signed up with me because I think they were offering like a month of the game free at that point. And so we, like, up to level 10, we played it, we, you know, we'd party up, we had fun. And then around level 10, everyone was just like, fuck this. And it was just me by myself. And it just, it, the situation devolved from there very quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that's like the make or break, like, level for Final Fantasy XI. Like, you get to 10 and you're like, okay, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it to 20. Or you're like, fuck this game.
I got to 20.
Somewhere between 10, 15, 20 is where you kind of move beyond the zones where you can solo and start getting funneled into the more group-orientated zones. And you have to...
I got to 20. And then I subsequently got to level 19.
Twice, yeah. Oh, yeah, let's not forget the whole sub-job system. Where you have to, you know, you're the job you choose to be, you know, sub to whatever your main job is. It's always half the level, but you have to manually level. It's not like you get XP for it while you're leveling your main job.
And you start at level 1.
If you
want
to run a warrior sub to Dark Knight like I did, and I was at 50, so I had to level up my warrior subclass on its own to 25.
Yeah, I was, like, capped out at White Mage, but I had my Black Mage only up to the points where I had warp. So I would go sit in Juno and I would, like, warp and teleport people places for money, for gil.
Yeah. It was great.
So great.
So great.
So great indeed. So great indeed that, in fact, I'm going to let Pat pick our starting spot for the ranking.
I wish you hadn't said that. Let me look at
I think you're a good floor for where we're going to start, and then I'm going to let the other two pick a good ceiling.
I'm going to, just as a baseline, let's say, what's the title of this? I'm going to say it belongs in the 47,858th slot.
The absolute worst game of all time. Pat, you ever played Chiller?
I know, but I'm sure that Chiller is a game that's not so emotionally manipulative that I couldn't walk away from it and not think about it for the rest of my life.
Well, Chiller is an arcade light game where you shoot people chained to a wall, so
I could walk away from it.
Jesus. Okay.
Final Fantasy XI is like a toxic relationship.
Okay, tell you what, we'll come back to Pat. Juniper.
God, okay. I'm looking at this list here. I think I had an idea where I was going to put it earlier and then I lost it. I think, well, where did it go? Well, definitely it's above Bejeweled. So let's move past that.
47,857th. I'm changing my thought.
Yeah, I would say it would be like, let's do it like at 49. Just right before Bejeweled.
Right before, but is there asteroid? Well, okay, yeah. So it's not going above Valkyrie Profile. That's for certain. What are you thinking, GR?
Ooh, this is a tough one because, I mean, so, okay, Final Fantasy XI is not better than Katamari Damacy, which is number 5.
You guys are looking a hell of a lot higher than I was.
But, here's the thing, is that when you scroll down to, you know, the 40s, where Juniper put it, which I think isn't too bad to say, oh, it's better than Bejeweled, but then you get into, like, well, okay, it's not better than Bloodborne, and it's not better than Valkyrie. Well, it's I would argue it with Valkyrie Profile.
You would not win that argument, but...
And it's definitely not better than Chrono Trigger.
Yeah.
But, so, I mean, I don't know. Is it okay if I give, like, a super wide range?
Well, okay. So we're looking here at, like, the top 50s.
I think it's in the top 100.
But is it... Okay, let's start talking down here. Is it better than Symphony of the Night?
No.
So that's 64. What about Ultima 7?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Better than Ultima 7. Well, so...
I say that because of just...
Wait, which Ultima is Ultima 7?
That's the one online is, like, based off of.
Is that the one that had the Serpent Isle expansion?
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's better than Ultima 7.
I say that because I like a lot of the soundtrack to Final Fantasy XI.
Yeah, it's very orchestral, moody kind of chamber music.
We've had more specious reasons for putting things this high up on the list. Better than Ultima 7. Okay,
I think it's better than Mother 3, but, you know, don't quote me on that.
See, I'm okay. Well, okay, here we go. Let's GR. Is it better or worse than Warframe?
Ooh, boy. Really, really hitting me low there. You know what? I'm going to take a stand here.
Yes.
I think it's better than Warframe, and I love Warframe.
Ooh. Okay. So we're looking between Symphony of the Night and Warframe. I think you're kind of outvoted on this one, Pat.
You're killing me.
But okay. I mean, like, but then again, it's like really hard to compare, like, to have like a list of like MMOs versus like, you know,
non-MMOs.
Yeah.
Well, there's a problem there, but I mean, like, for example, I think because we ranked Symphony of the Night after Punch-Out, so at one point I had to argue that Symphony of the Night was better than Punch-Out somehow.
Okay. You know, okay. Here's my final statement on it. Put it right below Symphony of the Night. Everything else gets bumped down. I don't care what it is. Everything else gets bumped down.
Well, Pat, is there anything between Warframe and Symphony of the Night you think that Final Fantasy XI should go below? Because you've gotten completely dragged on this one.
Which one? Let me see here.
You ever play Alone in the Dark, Pat?
No. But okay, let's see here.
I think
we're saying it's a better game than Castlevania.
No, it's worse than Castlevania. It's not going above Symphony of the Night. That's where I'm putting my foot down hard.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I mean, the original Castlevania. We're saying it's better than Contra?
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, come on, there's Catwoman.
Wait, which Contra?
The original.
Oh, yeah, I'd put it above the original Contra.
We're saying it's better than Rondo of Blood?
I think most of them are better than Rondo.
Don't put me in this situation.
Well, you're the one who jumped up to, like, 5.
Yeah, I know.
We're saying it's better than Jet Set Radio Future.
65.
Don't tell me it's better than Jet Set Radio Future, please.
Better than Deus Ex?
Yes.
Damn you. Well, I think it definitely needs to be up as... the only reason I'm not telling you guys you're nuts and we're keeping it in the 200s is because it's a really, really important game in a lot of regards.
It was a lot of firsts. It was also a lot of lasts. You know, I think it was sort of the last of the... In my head, it's always been the last of the old-style MMOs before we got into World of Warcraft and its, you know, the changes it made to the genre. So I think it's important... I don't want to say historically, but I think it's important to the genre, and I think it stands out in a lot of ways, but I think it was also too late for its time.
Too late?
Well, like...
Yes, I think the stuff that it did was... a lot of the things it did when I played it was sort of like getting to... I spent a lot of time complaining to people, oh, this is just like EverQuest. You know, I was expecting something new or something different. And I didn't get that until World of Warcraft.
Oh, I guess that, yeah. It was like following the line of what MMOs
yes,
were at
absolutely.
That point.
Yes, absolutely. It absolutely, 100%, you're 100% correct that it was in line with what it was doing, what other things did, but it didn't jump forward enough for me.
Yeah.
Although it's weird when you think about it, there's like 5 years or something like that in between EverQuest and World of Warcraft. And then everything's just been World of Warcraft for the last 20.
Yeah, I mean, World of Warcraft is like the Halo of MMOs.
Well, anybody, I know, I'm sorry, Pat, but Juniper, below Symphony of the Night, think you can agree with that one?
We're saying it's better than Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
Yes, it is better than Zombie Ate My Neighbors, my God.
Oh, man, you guys just make this harder and harder.
All right, you know what? I think I'm going to call it there. We'll apologize to you somehow, Pat, but... There it is, the new 65 below Castlevania Symphony of the Night, above Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, Final Fantasy XI, the man, the myth, the legend itself.
Final Fantasy XI, better than Final Fantasy VII.
Okay, you know what? I was going to let you plug something, but now I don't know about that. So,
I just plugged it.
All right, so once again, thanks to all three of you guys for stepping up and talking about this. Pat, like we've said earlier, you can check out his articles here and there on Hardcore Gaming 101. He wrote up a whole Final Fantasy write-up on Socks Make People Sexy. And then Juniper, thank you for joining us as well.
You're welcome. Oh, can I say one thing before?
Go ahead.
Everyone, here's a PSA. When you go to a convention, shower and wear deodorant.
That's the most important plug anybody ever had.
I will back this 100%. Wear deodorant. And shower. And but at least wear deodorant.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Night.
That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to all of my lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our booking agent Blinky G, our theme song MC Norm, check him out, he's at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant and video editor Ed Burns. You can nominate one game for us to rank via 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or on Stitcher, those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease. Add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers, but remember that we don't make any guarantees on those. And before you nominate a game, you should definitely check out bit.ly/47kgames and make sure we haven't already ranked it. That's bit.ly/47kgames. And you can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/hg101. I know I did. And you can help us out by subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel and by following at GC9X and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us on our Discord server. That's where the party's at. Find it at bit.ly/HGDiscord. But most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on Apple Podcasts, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it because you like us and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.